Welcome to Does the Team Think with Ted Ray, Arthur Askey, Cardi Robinson, and the man who hatched up the idea, Professor Jimmy Edwards. And now, team, if you look in my direction, you will see the beautiful presence of Mrs. June Sully. Mrs. June Sully, will you give the team your question, please?
Did the members of the team have a French mistress when they were at school? And if so, what were the most useful words she taught them?
How nice.
Wait a minute. Did the members of the team have a French mistress?
Yes.
When they were at school? And if so, what were the most useful words she taught them?
Words like no.
Well, I didn't have a French mistress at school. I had a French master. But when I left school, I had a French mistress. Fifi de la bonbon.
Tell me, Arthur, who put you up to it?
Because I love these bits of fractured French, things like mel de mer, I'm sick of my mum.
Jet adore.
Yeah.
Chapaton.
Coup de grace, lawnmower.
Pas de deux, father of two.
Don't give them all away.
Montparnasse, my father's country seat.
Can't you leave a couple for Jim and I, please?
Yes, moi aussi.
Have a couple, go
moi
on.
Moi aussi.
I wasn't born in Gemini.
Moi aussi, I'm an Australian, is the one I was going to...
That's a very nice, that's clever. Now, this French teacher of mine, she said to me, Teddy, she said, you know, there are only two words you need to know in French. Toujours and l'amour. That's all you need. And I went to Paris and I saw a girl and I said, toujours l'amour, she said, tonight for sure.
I thought the only French words that you really needed to get on were just oui and non.
Mrs. Sully, did you ever have a French mistress? Were you a French mistress? Are you a French mistress or what?
I taught French for 10 years.
But you're Anglais.
Yes.
You're obviously Anglais.
Your English is perfect for a French girl.
Because you know Jimmy had a terrible experience during the war. He was injured on one of the French landings. The girl's father came out and caught him.
I heard about the four Frenchmen the other day who were killed. A cow fell on top of them. But why did she give up the French teaching?
My family came along.
Your family? Oh, you had a baby.
Were they French?
They'll come along.
Vous avez un petit enfant?
Deux petites filles.
Filles?
Deux petites filles.
Two girls.
Yes. Petite fille.
I know.
Are you going to try for the lad? I'm free this afternoon.
I'm not free, but reasonable.
I'm not free, but I'm reasonable. I was just going to say.
Mrs. Sully, in all your experience of being a French teacher, what do you consider to be the most useful word to teach an Englishman?
Well, I thought up some sentences that might come in useful if you found yourselves in a tight situation with a young lady, for example.
I wish I could.
Hélas, non, je suis trop vieux, trop fatigué, trop petit, et j'ai trop soif.
I'm too tired to do
language.
I'm too old, too tired, too thirsty.
Which is the two thirsty words?
Let's have a translation of that.
I'm too old, too tired, too little, and I'm too thirsty.
Don't talk about the team like that.
And it makes you fat.
I met a girl who met a Frenchman outside a taxi, and he said, do you or don't you? She said, I don't, but you talked me into it.
There was a little soldier during the war outside the shop, crying his eyes out, and the sergeant major came and said, what's the matter with you, lad? He was sergeant major, so I went in, I gave 50 francs, and I didn't get any change. So he said, I should have had, it was only 40 francs, the thing that I bought. He said, did you parley the language? He said, no, sergeant major. He said, oh, you want to parley the language? He said, watch me. He went there, he said, parlez moi, mademoiselle, excusez moi, parlez vous français? He said, oui, monsieur, what about his ruddy change?
Thank you, team, very much, and thank you, Mrs. June Sully. And now, team, we have a question from Mr. William Painter. Mr. Painter, welcome to the programme. What's your question?
Why do people laugh at certain place names? Names such as Wigan, Wapping, Neasden and Penge.
Why do people laugh at certain place names, such as Wigan, Wapping, Neasden and Penge?
They were a very good act, that.
Have you been to Wigan? Well, what else could you call it?
Do you know,
I
Mr.
was born
Painter?
There.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you know who was born in Wigan? Ted.
Can we have some names that conjure up a certain amount of amusement?
Well, I can tell you a name, but yes. It happened to me. I was going to try to find Leatherhead. I've never been there. I was driving along this place, Leatherhead. As I got near the place, I wound my car window down. I saw a fellow on the pavement. I said, looked at him, I said, Leatherhead? He looked at me, he said, Fish Face?
got that in before me, Cardew. Did I? Rocker. Oh. Bring back Siddle Fletcher.
I must say, Cardew, that dates you if you have to wind your window down.
Ah, yeah.
Can we have some place names that cause you amusement?
Well, when I'm driving round the country with Billy Tasker, a great mate of mine, we always used to go through places like Hartley Whitney. Mm. And we always used to
say,
the part of the butler was played by Mr. Hartley Whitney.
I always think that another one that's as good as that is, I was thinking the same thing when I go through Sutton Scotney.
That's a good one.
We got into trouble once on this programme for making jokes about Scunthorpe.
They sent a man down. Yes. Well, they sent a man down.
Not only sent a man down, but I had to go to Scunthorpe and see it.
Did you?
And admit that it wasn't so awful as we thought it was.
If this gives you any clue at all, years ago when I was at school, I was asked to name three places in a geography lesson, Wallop, and there was Little Wallop, Middle Wallop, and I said Such a Wallop and got the worst of it.
That was very wishy of you.
There are lots of names in the country, you know, little names. There's a little correspondence in the Times about it at the moment. There's a place in Sussex called Lower Dicker.
Yes.
And there's also one called Upper Dicker, which is more embarrassing.
There's a place.
What about Middle Dicker?
There isn't a Middle Dicker.
There's a place called Piddle.
There shouldn't be.
There's a place called Piddletown.
Oh, Piddle. There's a place called Piddle.
I know there is.
Yeah. I played a theatre the other day, and the fellow, the stage manager, got a marvellous idea at this particular theatre. He said to me, we don't give the dressing rooms numbers anymore, Mr. Painter. Makes the actors jealous. One fellow's in one, other fellow in ten. He said, we give every dressing room the name of a town. He said, if you're a very big star, you'll go in the London room, not quite sort of a big star, the Manchester room, and so on. And he showed me my room. Where is Chipping Sodbury?
And what's more, who is Chipping Sodbury?
Why are they chipping it?
And Chipping is getting very fed up with it, too.
But you can romanticise on names like, you know, I left my heart in San Francisco. Makes it sound good. It's better than singing about you left your kidneys in Stoke-on-Trent.
Ah, but that becomes an organ recital, doesn't it?
But everybody...
Thank you very much. Thank you, and thank you, Mr. Painter. Thank you very much. Dressed in red and white, sitting on my right, is Mrs. Joyce Dowds. Hello, Mrs. Dowds. Your question, please.
What pretty feature have the members of the team inherited from their parents?
The answer is none.
Get off, rubbish.
What pretty feature have members of the team inherited from their parents?
Well, I resent straight away, Mr. Chairman, you making that crude remark.
Not
about us not inheriting it. Don't you resent that, ladies
and gentlemen? I do, yes, yes.
I have got... My mother had the prettiest knees.
She lived in Neasden.
No. And I have got the lovely... Nobody ever sees them because one doesn't often walk about showing one's knees. But if I were to bear them now, every woman in this audience would swoon.
Jimmy inherited his moustache from his mother. Did you know that? Only it was on top of her head, not under her nose.
I am... You may not know this, folks, and I don't give away photographs... Because people don't
ask. You sell them, don't you?
Yes, that's right. And I am slightly cross-eyed.
Oh, slightly? Who are you looking at now?
No, Jimmy, I don't mean in the evening like you are, but, you know, during the day, you see. And it happened from my father and my mother because, you see, I was born...
We're amazed to hear it.
I was born on Paddington Recreation Ground.
You moved from Wigan. Between overs.
Yes, that's right.
Between overs.
And my mother said to my father, you look one way and I look the other.
I have got my mother's eyes. And they're so beautiful, I have to keep them under glass.
I got my mother's teeth and she was glad to get rid of them.
You know, you don't necessarily inherit your parents' features. I mean, look at Cardew here. It turned out his father was a little fat man when they eventually caught up with him.
I can't believe anybody could have been like Cardew. I mean, what could have manufactured that?
Are you saying I'm unique?
No, I'm not.
He's unique.
I'm actually saying that you're some sort of what is the word?
You've got a beautiful nose for stabbing geese. Let's put it that way.
I've got a Roman nose. It roams all over my ruddy face.
Look at his teeth. The only man I know who can eat an apple at arm's length.
Through a tennis racket.
Like a friend of mine, he said, "Will you come along? I've got a lovely girlfriend. I've got a smasher for you. She's a picture." I said, "You're joking." He said, "No, she is a picture." When I got there, she was worse than me. She got red eyes and pimples all over her face and a broken nose. I said, I thought you said she was a picture. Well, either you like Picasso or you don't.
What did she... You know what happened, Carter? You were framed.
What did she have coming out of her ear?
Hung up.
Mrs. Stiles, do you think that you have any particular features that you inherited perhaps from your family?
Well, not particularly, but what got me to write this question was that I had a roommate when I used to live in South Africa, and she used to gaze wistfully at her feet and say, oh, I've got pretty feet, just like my father.
Was he a policeman?
No, he was a farmer, an Afrikaans farmer.
Well, you have to take my word for it, Mrs. Dowd, but I've got my father's legs. They're not very long, but they're beautifully shaped.
I said to my mother once, I said, what colour was my father's hair? She said, I don't know, I never saw him with his hat off.
Well, it's quite funny. It's probably true, too.
I didn't mind.
But she has. What about me? What have you thought pretty about me, Mrs. O'Dowd?
Oh, lovely smile.
Lovely.
Lovely smile?
Must be joking.
Lovely smile.
Lovely.
Well, my auntie Flo had a very aristocratic nose, which I think I've got, which is just as well, because they keep my glasses on for me.
Thank you very much, and thank you, Mrs. Joyce Dodds. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is time to meet our special guest, a comedian who's made a big impact on stage and television in the last few years. Here to give us a look at the small world of Samuel Bluet is Freddie Davis.
Here he is, Freddie!
Hello, Freddie. Welcome to the programme.
Oh, it's stupid to be here.
Yes, I thought it would be.
Very nice, isn't it?
Yes. Freddie, would you put your question, please?
You've got a very nasty affliction there, haven't you?
Yes. Freddie, your turn. Freddie Davis.
Yes. Have members of the team any experience of domestic birds?
Right. Have members of the team any experience of domestic birds?
Well, I, Freddie, as you well know, me being a great star of State Screen and Labour Exchange... Whose gag is that, incidentally?
Mine.
No, Ted said it was
his. It's still under discussion. The jury's still out.
Yes. But I've got a lot of bird songs. Not at eventide, real bird songs. And I've got one that I think would suit you if you'd like to buy the world rights.
The Fego?
No, not the Fego. Tra-la-la-la, I'm a budgerigar. I chatter and chirrup and sweet. In the language of birds, I use very rude words, and everyone murmurs how sweet. If something upsets me, I fly in a rage, and it takes them an hour to clean up my cage with a titty for lol and thanks ever so tall. Tra-la-la-la, I'm a budgerigar. Would you like the world right to that?
Freddie hasn't told us whether he wants the world right. Would you tell us, Freddie?
No, not really, but I think I love you.
Oh, I see.
Martha, don't you dance either?
I dance as well. Besides...
Back to the question.
When I get on my toes...
When one thinks of domestic birds, of course, the stories about parrots are legion.
Yeah, we're going to hear them all now, aren't we?
Come on, Ted, let's have the best one.
Well, it won't be the first time I've been up before the beak. Anyway, this parrot, you see, he was a fighter. And the owner, he liked the parrot, but he didn't like him fighting. And every time he put another parrot in with him, you know, he would kill this parrot. And it was a terrible thing. And the man didn't want to lose his parrot because it was very expensive, but he wanted to cure the parrot. So one day, he got a vulture. And the fellow came down the next morning, and there was the parrot, stripped, hadn't got a feather, and the vulture was lying dead. It was in the evening, so it was an evening vulture. See? And the parrot said... I had to take my coat off to that one. That's the end of that.
Freddie, I think it's...
Would I like to ask Mr. Davis something, as it's a rare privilege to have somebody with a black hat on in the programme. No, I mean, we are privileged, ladies and gentlemen, to have him here because he could be out working.
What do you think he's doing now?
He's finished his milk round.
Yes.
No, I would like to ask what is becoming, for me, quite an interesting question, having never had the great privilege of meeting this gentleman before. I've seen you on the television screen and all that. So how, when you go about privately, as I suppose you must from time to time...
all the time, I should
say. Well, no, I mean, you know, what do people think when you talk in this embarrassing way? I mean, do you spit in everybody's face all the time?
Not at all.
What the taxi driver say when you say, thank you very much, and all that? Would it be too much to ask you to divulge whether it is a genuine affliction?
No, it's not an affliction. Yeah, I don't speak like this all the time.
Carry on.
And there was, whose teeth are you wearing at the moment? Because they must be cast.
I bet, Jim, you're sorry you folk.
No, I'm not. I'm seriously interested.
No, I'm breaking his teeth in for cardio.
I bet
actually. More
people do it to you than you do it to them.
All the time.
I would like to ask Freddie a question, whether at any time in his life has he ever kept a budgie or a parrot or a canary.
Well, I had a very old budgie once. It came from an antique shop.
Your gag.
That's the Freddie. Rest of the act.
What would you do, Freddie, if a fella came up to you in the street, a complete stranger, and he pulled up his trouser leg, took up a brass ring, and he said, "My name's Pigeon, I've got a message for you."
Why have you got this sort of weakness for birds, Freddie? It's rather got me.
Some friends of mine last year, they wanted to bring up a little turkey and fatten it up themselves. They bought this turkey and they took it home to fatten it up for Christmas. Well, this turkey became so friendly, they used to have it in the house, it's absolutely true, and it became like a pet. And I thought, what is going to happen when they have this Christmas dinner? Well, I went round and there they were sitting around a plate of chicken. The turkey was sitting there wearing a funny hat and pulling crackers.
Thank you, team, very much. Thank you, and thank you, Freddie Davis. Thank you.
Thank you, Freddie. Very
much. Thank you, Freddie Davis. Thank you. And now here, team, is Mrs. Gwen Shuttleworth. Mrs. Shuttleworth, welcome to the programme. You're at the mercy of the team. What's your question?
Have the members of the team done a good deed today? And if so, what is it?
Have the members of the team done a good deed today? And if so, what is it?
No, we're going to do one as soon as the programme's over.
I was going to say, I've just forgotten. Excuse me if I go in. Never mind. No, as a matter of fact, I have done a good deed today because I'm always doing them. I'm full of them. I'm full of good deeds. There was a terrible long queue of taxi for people at the taxi rank at Waterloo this morning.
Oh, yes.
And I gave a lady a lift in my
limousine.
Limousine. Well, called it a limousine. It was a hired car.
Is that true, Jim?
Yes, I gave a lady a lift.
Well, mind that's you, very strange. How
mind you,
that?
She wanted to go to Neasden, but I dropped her off at Victoria.
I gave a lift to an old man today. I shan't do it again unless I got a car with me.
Well, I left a door open for a penniless man who was waiting to go in the loo.
And Arthur Askey.
How are you, Mac?
Yeah, what was your good deed?
Well, I don't know whether the listeners know that we do this from the Playhouse, which is Charing Cross, where all the down and outs sleep under the arches here. And as I came in this morning, the last one was there, and he was poor old fella sitting on the floor, and he said, "Governor, I haven't had a bite for 3 days, so I bit him."
And you know, Arthur, do you know you woke me up there, as a matter of fact?
There's a dear old man outside selling bootlaces, this is true, and I didn't take any bootlaces. I gave him 50p, and Cyril Fletcher was very grateful.
Do you know, there's a fellow, I used to do that, there's a fellow in the street, well, I forget that turning, he was selling these bootlaces, and I always used to say, take the 50p and not take the bootlaces. I did that for 5 years, and last week I gave him the 50p, and he said, "They've gone up, you know."
You know, that's my opening gag. You've killed it.
No wonder it's going to close.
Well, talking about the embankment, I once rubbed two Boy Scouts together and made a fire for a tramp. He was very grateful.
But you see, a good deed is not necessarily a generous deed. A good... What the lady's asking is Mrs. Shuttleworth, isn't
it? Mrs. Shuttlecock.
Shuttleworth.
Got a name absolutely right for once. This is a name you can't forget. But, I mean, a good deed. I mean, did you do something good this morning?
Well, when we came in, you know that I'm so funny on this programme, the rest of the team said, "Will you do us a good deed and not be as funny as usual? And don't get the laugh."
And you have.
Obvious, I have.
You've succeeded admirably.
You can get into trouble through doing good deeds once. I was in Diggs, and there was a knock on my door, bedroom door one night, and I looked down, and there was a little frog. Well, I shut the door. You've seen one frog, you've seen them all, you know. But this frog said... He said, "Don't shut the door," this frog said, "because I'm not really a frog, I'm really a beautiful blonde, and I've been turned into the frog shape by a wicked witch. And if I can spend the night in a human being's bed, I'll be turned back into a lovely
impossible with you.
Yes. So, well, I'm kind, so I put this frog in the bed, and in the morning there was this lovely blonde, and when the landlady came in, she didn't believe a word about the frog.
It's a wonder you didn't croak.
Oh, yeah.
It was Toad in the Hole.
It turned out to be leap year, I suppose.
Actually, my Uncle Reuben was, amongst other things.
Oh, he's not back.
Yes,
he's one with the black hat.
No, is he? Ted.
Yeah, with the black hat.
Ted, where's your Uncle Reuben been?
Uncle Reuben has been everywhere and done everything.
He's been everywhere.
He's a plastic surgeon, and he once gave a lady a seat on a bus. That's what he did.
Lovely.
It's very embarrassing when you like to do one of those obvious little good turns like that, you know, like the girl who said, do you mind me getting in front of the queue to get on this bus because I'm pregnant?
And oh, that's
awful. Of course, madam, of course. How when are you expecting? She said, oh, about 8 months and 45 days.
Yes, it does make you rather tired, I know. I did a good deed for the wife the other day, and... yes, I did. I didn't
does he
think
know?
I didn't think it was possible to surprise my wife.
He came home.
I came in, and it was her birthday, and she thought I'd forgotten. And I bought her the most beautiful bunch of violets. She wasn't really pleased. She was expecting a mink coat. Can't say it.
A mink coat, you see.
And so she said, where have you been? Just the fact that I brought home violets, you know, they think you've done something guiltily.
Yeah.
They think you know, you've got drunk or keeping another woman.
Well, had you?
What? Keep another woman? Takes me all my time to keep this one.
Well, going back to the good deed for the day, as I was coming in this morning, there was a lady said, please, Mr. Astley, can you... Because, you know, they fight like hell to get in here. I mean, tickets are like gold. There's a black market on them. So I said, yes, I'll get you in. And I got her in. Now, whether I've done her a good deed or not, but I noticed after the first question, she got up and walked out.
Thank you, team, very much. And thank you, Mrs. Shuttleworth. Thank you very much. And now, team, you're going to hear a question from Mr. Leslie Oppitz. Mr. Oppitz, welcome to the programme. Can I ask you first of all? Mr. Oppitz, you've got a very strange name.
Thanks for it.
Mr. Oppitz, where'd you get your...
Years ago, my family came from Czechoslovakia.
Oh, I thought that might be the case.
Oh, yes. Through a grasshopper.
Well, let's have your question, Mr. Oppitz.
If asked to put something in an autograph book, what do members of the team write?
If they can. If asked to put...
Oh, I hate those witty asides.
If asked to put something in an autograph book, what do members of the team write?
Well, if you say to put something, I usually just put an old sausage or something in it. I didn't know.
An old sausage in an autograph.
Well, he said if you're asked to put something like that.
I don't believe it.
No, but nobody else does.
That's far-fetched.
Well, yeah. we're very fortunate, especially, really. Yeah. At least I'm fortunate because my name consists of only six letters.
Yes. You know, when I'm signing my name, Ted, I often say that. You know, I've thousands of people around me, and I'm signing away. I said, I wish I had a short name like Ted Ray.
Yes.
God knows I'm short enough myself for my name.
Of course, Arthur, the first time you did an autograph, it was in stone, wasn't it?
That's chippy.
But I always insist on them asking me to write. I mean, you get kids who come up to you and just thrust an autograph book, and I always say to them, well, say something.
Yes.
And they say, can I autograph, please? Then you know what they want. And I just put rather grandly, Jimmy Edwards. I don't put love, especially to children.
Have you noticed, though, the autograph is never for themselves?
No, that's right. It's not for me, they say.
It's embarrassing. They're embarrassed, and I know they're embarrassed, and I realise that, so I never say, who's it for, you know, because they have to think.
Do you know a lady came up to me once in the street, in Lytham St. Anne's, as a matter of fact, and said, would you oblige my daughter?
To say that.
No, you weren't. You can't admit because
I was.
It's true. It happened to me.
What did I reply? She said it's for my 17-year-old daughter, and I said, well, that's a fair exchange.
Yeah. And it turned her straight back into a frog.
That's
although it can be very hurtful. A little boy the other day said to me, can I have your autograph? So I said, what's your name? He said, I know my name, you idiot. It's yours I want.
During the war, when the blackout first started, I was at Portsmouth Hippodrome, and I came out, and it was very, very black, because the blackout had just started, and I was getting... Lots of pieces of paper were being pushed into my hand, and I was signing away, and I thought, well, the house wasn't all that good tonight, because the bombing was on, but I kept on signing, and all of a sudden, I heard a bit of tittering, and it was Dickie Murdoch and the stage manager who were passing me bits of paper, and as I wrote my name, they tore them up and threw them away. I was knee-deep in paper when I left.
That wasn't very deep, though, was it?
No, no.
Mr. Obitz, I wonder if we might ask you, are you an autograph hunter yourself, or do you collect, or have you ever done so?
No, I've never collected autographs. I leave my children to do that.
What do you like?
Is that the only reason why you leave your children?
Can I ask you... What
you told them to Obitz.
What sort of thing, Mr. Obitz, do you like to see written in the autograph books of your children?
I think verses.
Verses?
Short, snappy verses, something like this.
Can you like, by hook or by crook, I'll be last.
No, I can't give any examples of those, but I can give some examples that I thought the team would write if asked to put something in an autograph
book.
What
a good idea.
Ted Ray, I thought he would write in his book, as I write in your book, as one who falls and fiddles, like my cat, I leave my mark, she's always doing riddles.
Very good.
Yes.
That's very good. That's
Arthur Askey.
Arthur Askey.
I like it.
I found a corner in your book, and an entry short from me. My friends have often pointed out there's none so small as me.
Ah. You know, I think I'm going to cry.
I've got one here for Cyril Fletcher, but he didn't turn up. And
for Jimmy Edwards, finally, surely.
People often ask of me, could I from beer refrain, or if I drink through my moustache, does it become a strain?
I've got one for you now. I've got one for you I've been writing down here. I've heard these lovely rhymes, sir, and I do wish you'd stop it. And if you do not cop it, you'd better go and op it.
Yeah. Thank you, team, very much indeed. And there, I'm afraid, we must close Does the Team Think for today. On behalf of Jimmy Edwards, Ted Ray, Arthur Askey, Cardi Robinson, and our producer, Edward Taylor, our thanks to all our questions and, of course, our special guest, Freddie Davis. This is Donald Hobley saying goodbye to you all. Goodbye.